flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Orlovsky, yesterday on First Take, my instinct is to mock him, but I wonder if he's got a point there. Some of the better,
I've heard that.
I mean,
so
I said my instinct was to mock him. That probably is the right.
So I get what he's saying, and we were talking about the teams that are left in the playoffs and how even some of the really good offenses do have defensive-minded head coaches, but they have really good offensive coordinators, and these quarterbacks have worked out. But he kind of talks himself into circles there because he's saying we haven't really seen any evidence of it. Then he gives us three examples,
four examples: McDaniels and Tua. Who was the other one he gave?
Burrow made a Super Bowl with Zach Taylor. Tua, I know Mike McDaniel doesn't have a lot of playoff success, but they made the playoffs twice, and Tua looked terrible under Brian Flores and looks great with Mike McDaniel. So you can question whether Mike McDaniel's a great head coach, but you can't question that he's gotten the most out of Tua.
No, I think
Tua
that's
looks
fair.
Great.
I think that's fair.
And, McVay obviously getting Jared Goff all the way to a Super Bowl after Jared Goff looked horrible with Jeff Fisher. So that's the beauty of it. There's 32 teams. There's examples all over the place. You can find offensive-minded head coaches that succeed, defensive-minded head coaches that succeed.
But we are both of the same mind, Shime is of this mind, where you want to bring in the offensive schemer.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody who's going to be married to your young quarterback. And there are a lot of examples of these defensive coaches making it work with young quarterbacks. So,
but I also think they...
I wonder if I'm too far in that direction, just maybe listening to Orlovsky, and we've talked about that before with some of these young QBs.
Well, that's why I'm fine with Mike Vrabel as the head coach.
Yeah, but I'm only fine with it, too. Some people really love it. I wonder if I should love it more than I do based on
that. How about
this?
I'm good with it. No, like, I wanted Ben Johnson, but that ship has sailed. They got Mike Vrabel, and I think you can do it this way. I wouldn't have wanted Dan Quinn. But then when you say, hey, Cliff Kingsbury is the offensive coordinator, we're going to draft Jaden Daniels, and we're going to, you know, get some veterans in here, and whoa, all of a sudden, you got something going. But I don't think it's insignificant to look at Cliff Kingsbury or Brian Daboll. I'm sure Sean McDermott talks to Josh McDaniels, but doesn't Brian Daboll get a significant amount of the credit for making him the quarterback that he is today?
Yep.
I'm sure Josh Allen would say the same thing. You know, Patrick Mahomes, sort of a different case study. Andy Reid was very well established at that point, but he's an offensive coach, and he's got the best player in the NFL. So I think there are a lot of ways to get it done. One way that we can't, not to keep piling on this, but the Gerard Mayo, Alex Van Pelt was not the way to do it.
Yeah.
That was very clearly not the way to do it.
First time GM, first time head coach, basically a first time play caller, first time defensive coordinator, first time guys all over your staff, first time special teams coordinator who we liked. Like, yeah, that's not the way to. I think that it's safe to say that's not the way to build.
No, nope, that was not the way to do it.
Especially with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, right, exactly. So this has a better chance of working. I personally, and maybe a lot of people around here don't view it this way, Cliff Kingsbury to me is more of that QB whisperer and has more evidence of it, college and pro, of working with these great quarterbacks and getting a lot out of the quarterbacks. But as a head coach, he's kind of similar to better than McDaniels. Kingsbury made the playoffs, but his college tenure, he was like 500. His pro tenure is like never really good enough. He's more offensive minded guy, but that's sort of McDaniels. Even if you kind of take the head coaching part out of it, maybe you have a better chance of making it work than some of these other guys.
So you can jump in here, 617-779-7937. The setup, where you're getting an experienced offensive coordinator with a defensive-minded head coach for your young quarterback. How do you feel about that setup? Orlovsky thinks there's some merit to it. He's talking about Ben Johnson and worries about Caleb Williams in Chicago. Is there merit to that? And has that been a more successful combination at least I have given it credit for. You can jump in again. 617-779-7937. It's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers coming up. I call it 25 minutes from now. We'll also do some Celtics talk with Terp. High noon, as we do every Celtics Wednesday. Sees blowing out the Warriors. They've made some adjustments to their rotation. Jaylen Brown doesn't sound the happiest.
No.
So we'll get to all that with Terp coming up again at high noon on a Celtics Wednesday. Two texts, and then I want to grade the offseason.
Hit me.
Again, idiots.
Oh.
You two clowns make no mention of the rest of the offensive roster Josh McDaniels was working with all those so-called failures. O'Brien was overrated, blah, blah, blah. So he gets into an O'Brien tangent there. Did McDaniels not have talent with the Raiders?
No, they had talent. They had, like, the leading rusher in the league. They had, I think Derek Carr is at least middle of the pack.
Yeah, he's not
great.
No, but he was better than, you know, like Mack and things like that. Yeah.
So, and they had Davante Adams.
Okay. The Raiders
like the best receiver in the league?
The Raiders were a playoff team the year before McDaniels got there.
Uh-huh.
They stunk McDaniels' first year. They got worse his second year. He got fired. They won five games with Antonio Pierce down the stretch. Now, they're bad again this year. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say the Raiders didn't have offensive talent. And even a guy like Max Crosby.
The second
on the other
leading
side of the
receiver
ball.
On that team was Mack Hollins.
Davante Adams had
1,500 yards. Mack Hollins was the second leading receiver.
Yeah, I just wouldn't say the Raiders had no talent. But they were a playoff team the year before he got there.
They had the league's leading rusher. And they had an all-pro running back and a first-team all-pro wide receiver. And then a middle-of-the-pack quarterback.
They won 10 games before he got there. So they had talent. Same thing in Denver. They were 8-8 with Mike Shanahan. I forgot that McDaniels replaced Shanahan in Denver. I thought there was
a gap
in there.
Wow, what a long time ago.
It was. So he replaced Shanahan, 8-8 team. He was 8-8 his first year in Denver. Again, got fired in year two.
Well, not only was he 8-8, he was, I think, 8-0. Remember, and he beat Belichick.
I want to say it was at least like 5 or 6-0, something like that. Yeah, he had a hot start, and then they tailed off.
A real hot start. Wait, let me find what that was, because that was like, it looked like, wow, this guy's going to be a real hit, and then he was not, and then he didn't even survive the second season.
I want to say he was 5 or 6-0, and yeah, maybe like 7-1. It was a crazy start.
6-0, and then they were
6-0,
8-8 to end the season.
Okay, wow. Not great.
Wow.
And the offense got a lot worse with McDaniels there than the year prior with Shanahan. They dropped off by 50, 60, 70 points.
And then Tebow,
like,
they were in the divisional round the next year. After he left, they made the playoffs 5 straight years.
The Rams team he inherited or took over as offensive coordinator in 2011 probably didn't have a ton of talent. But again, Bradford was better the year before and better the year after. So what's the commonality there? I think when you look at the situation around McDaniels, everywhere he went, he made it worse.
How many coaches have ever had 3 stints with one place? Like, it just, it's pretty alarming that you're like just bringing them right back.
Do you think I make too much of that nobody else would hire this guy? I mean, I don't even know it's true. I haven't heard anything about him interviewing anywhere. There's a bunch of organizations, you know, wouldn't even think about looking his way. A lot of the Bill guys have filtered out of the league. And so do you think that's a fair way to look at it, that McDaniels is unhirable for most of the other 31 organizations?
I don't look at it too. I don't think that's the most significant thing. I think you're right. You know, he's never going to be a head coach again. I don't think you get 3 cracks at being a head coach, especially when you, there's nothing to really like hang your hat on the first 2 stints.
You couldn't even make it through 2 years in either spot.
No, so that's not happening. Plus the, hey, I'm not going to the Colts after telling the Colts you're going to go to the Colts. I think some teams would have to hold that against him. But he's had so much success with New England that, I don't know, maybe they look at him sort of like a New England guy. Because I like Mike Vrabel as a head coach. Nobody wanted him last year. You know, like nobody picked him up last year. And I still think he's one of the better coaches in the league. So you never know. There's with weird cycles.
Did he at least interview? He at least interviewed.
I think he did.
I believe he interviewed with the Chargers last year.
Yeah, no, there's less of a demand for Josh McDaniels. But, yeah, maybe it's like his connections around the league. And it seems like a lot of teams are more willing to go with, all right, who is the pass game coordinator for Kyle Shanahan than they are, let's grab Josh McDaniels.
I mean, I would feel strongly about that over McDaniels.
Yeah.
There's also this, he wasn't able to develop Stidham, is like saying he wasn't able to develop Curtis Painter. Some dudes are just ass. Maybe. He likes Stidham. He brought Stidham with him to the Raiders. So
yeah, but this
he
is your,
likes
this,
Stidham.
But this is your point. If Mac Jones sucks, and we all think that he does, and he gets credit for getting something good out of Mac Jones, how come he wasn't able to get something good out of Cam Newton, Sam Bradford, Kyle Orton?
Yeah, great.
Like all these
other guys. He got something out of the 15th pick. Like I'm supposed to think that's a crazy, crazy check mark for him.
Yeah.
Like, I'd also say this, 2020 was a huge year. That was passing the torch on from Tom Brady, and they failed that test. miserably. They had a quarterback on the roster they liked. They were going to give the job to. It didn't work out. They had to bring in Cam Newton at the 11th hour, and he got nothing out of him.
I do think Belichick kind of set him up to fail a little bit. I mean, they waited the last minute. They're like, hey, here's your guy. Here's Cam Newton. They could have drafted Jordan Love. They could have drafted Jalen Hurts. They could have done something better.
Was that the Lamar year or was that the year prior?
No, Lamar was 18.
Was 18.
Brady was on the team for Lamar, so that's kind of a tough.
You could have drafted Lamar, though, and supposedly McDaniels wanted him. So you're right. They could have left him in a better spot.
Yeah.
And maybe Stidham does just suck. But Mac sucked, and he got more out of Mac. So if that's the idea, fine. All I'm saying is I hear way too much about the Mac year and not enough about the Cam year.
What's your prediction where they finish this year, just points per game?
15?
Yeah, middle.
Yeah.
I think the expectation should be about middle. We don't know who their receivers are yet. We don't know any of that stuff. But just Drake May, Josh McDaniels.
It better not be worse than six. It better not be worse than middle of the pack.
Yeah.
16.
16. Right smack dab in the middle. Can they be the 16th best offense this year?
Do you think they can do it? 617-779-7937. There's also this text. I refuse to grade them until free agency is wrapped.
All right, we'll wait.
Not doing it. We're grading them right now.
No, sit and wait.
Let's grade the Patriots offseason to this point.
Yeah.
It's basically grading the coaching staff, the coordinators, what they've done to this point in time. You guys can jump in on this with your grades as well. Elliot Wolf's still here. Hiring Ryan Cowden, I guess, is another element to all of this. Keith, how would you grade their offseason to this point?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go with a B- for this. I was pretty – I like Mike Vrabel. I don't think – again, it's the most imaginative – plan going, but I like Mike Vrabel. I think he's going to be a good face of the franchise and a good professional coach in the locker room. I think he's going to fix a lot of the issues that they had. Guy commands a room, all that. So the Mike Vrabel hire is better than a B-. But when you're grading it all together, Josh McDaniels just seems very unimaginative. Just like, oh, that's the guy that we had before. Let's just bring him back. Once again, it was the obvious move. They end up going with it. Jury's still out on how good it's going to be. So that weighs it down a little bit. Terrell Williams, I'm actually kind of intrigued by.
I think
he worked well with Vrabel in the past. This year he was in Detroit working with the D-line. That even with all their injuries, they were really good. He was also their defensive run game coordinator for whatever role that means. And they were good against the run. And just a lot of experience. Like, this isn't a bunch of, 28, 30-year-old guys running around. You have real adult dudes on the team now, and they're bringing back Spring Dog. I like Jeremy Springer. So the McDaniels hire, just kind of more of an eye roll to me, brings it down, but B- is nothing to sneeze at.
What's Vrabel on his own? If you're just going to grade Vrabel. Okay. So I think you start at a higher point than me. I think Vrabel is a good, solid hire. Say you start at a B.
Okay.
With Mike Vrabel. That's what I would say. It's good. It's not great. It's not a grand slam. But it's a good, solid hire where you have, again, somebody who's done the job before, someone who's not going to be surprised. As you said, he was 6 years in Tennessee, some good years, some bad years, went to an AFC title game in there. Nothing about the job should surprise him. So to me, that's a good, solid B hire. I don't love the McDaniels hire, so that brings it down a notch. I don't like that Elliot Wolf is still here.
I should add that, too. That helps lower mine.
So, and I know it gets explained away. Well, Vrabel's here and Vrabel's calling the shots. Maybe.
You still got the Jalen Polk guy here.
McDaniels doesn't feel like a Vrabel hire and Vrabel calling the shots. So hiring McDaniels makes me think all over again that Elliot Wolf is here and he's here for a reason. And he's going to have a bigger say than any of us want to let on. Maybe Vrabel wins tiebreakers early on. But you keep reading about how Robert Kraft loves what Elliot Wolf implemented with the scouting. And Elliot Wolf is somebody who they believe in and has a strong track record from Cleveland and Green Bay and blah, blah, blah. So I'd say both of those things bring it down to a C+, maybe a C. Like, it's a good, solid offseason. It's not a disaster. It's not terrible. I think people hear C or C+, and they go, oh, you think this is a terrible offseason. No, no, no. F is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, D- would be a borderline disaster. It's good. It's a good, solid offseason. C is a good, solid grade. C's get degrees, Keith.
C's get degrees,
it's
no doubt.
It's a good, solid grade.
Not bad.
It's a good, solid offseason, but I'd knock him down for Wolf still being here. I'd knock him down for McDaniels. I'd knock him down for a complete and total lack of creativity. And let's see what players they get in here. The texter's right when they say, we don't know. The team is nothing and coaches are nothing without their players, et cetera, et cetera. I agree with that. So we can regrade it later on in the offseason, but right now it's all we can go off of. The coaching staff, the vision, the personnel guys. How do we feel about all of it? It's fine. It's right in the middle. I like Vrabel the most out of all the moves they've made. Maybe that move by itself is a B, but overall, C. right down the middle, not creative, not imaginative. They should be a good, solid NFL team. But what are we talking about? 8-9 wins next year? If I had to
they
guess,
got a I'm telling you, they got a bad schedule or a good schedule, and you know they're playing a ton of these bottom teams, and there's still the draft, there's still free agency, there's still potential trades. So some of these rosters might look a lot different. Some teams probably going to spend like crazy. Maybe it's a team that you got on your schedule. So that could all change. But no, this year. So the year before, I think Robert Kraft was expecting the Bill Belichick, Mac Jones being out, and any other quarterback in Gerard Mayo being in was going to be this huge improvement, and it wasn't. It was actually worse.
I subscribe to that theory, and that was wrong.
It was wrong. Now, the quarterback was better, and the quarterback play was better by the time you got the guy in there, but the coach was certainly much worse. So now you're not talking about Belichick and Mac Jones anymore. You're talking about replacing Gerard Mayo and going to Mike Vrabel. So like that alone should be a step up. Even Josh McDaniels, neither you nor I's favorite hire. But compared to Alex Van Pelt and his kind of lack of play-calling experience, I'll take McDaniel. So I think right there on paper, you're already better. Factor in year two Drake May. Should be better. No guarantee. Plenty of examples of guys that weren't as good their second year.
Mayfield, but, Stroud, Mack.
Oh, yeah. Sam Bradford. Like there's plenty of guys, but some do take a little bit of a leap as well. And you give him a full year. Maybe give him a few better players around him. I think the expectation for this team this year, I think playoffs is way too much, but I think 500 and playing meaningful games in December is certainly reasonable.
8-9 wins.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, well, how can you do that before you know the roster? Well, you can't.
No, but just the nature of the NFL.
I expect them to get a wide receiver. You know, is it T. Higgins? Is it Cooper Kupp? Is it DK Metcalf? Is it A.J. Brown? Like, I'm not telling you I know the guy.
Yeah.
And I'll feel differently about that, and I can adjust based on it. But I feel good they're going to get a wide receiver, a name.
Jacoby Myers.
Wide receiver.
Bring them back. Bring back everybody.
I feel good they're going to sign a couple of people in free agency. Yeah. And it's not just going to be bring back all the scrubs from, you know, the team 2 years ago. Bring back all the Bill guys. New coach, new quarterback. All of it's going to change. I feel good they're going to – I'm factoring in that I expect them to sign a couple of guys. If they don't, I'll relook at it. If they blow out the budget like they did in 2021, maybe I'll adjust them up. But I expect 8 or 9 wins, and I don't think this is flip-flopping, text line. I love how you flip-flop Jones on Vrabel. He's a good hire. But I believe last season you wanted nothing to do with him. Why is I think he's safe. I think it is a high floor. You are not going to strike out with Mike Vrabel. I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think you're going to have a Mayo-type season with Vrabel, which to me makes it a good, solid hire. But it's high floor. I don't know what the ceiling is with Vrabel. Even the year he went to the AFC title game, that team won 9 games.
I mean, the reality is so much of this is going to come down to Drake May specifically. And not to like oversimplify things, but Josh McDaniels, we're going through all the quarterbacks that he worked with, not named Tom Brady, and most of them are crap. Mike Vrabel, his whole time in Tennessee, crap quarterbacks. You know, Ryan Tannehill kind of burned hot there for a minute, looked like he was all right. Mm. But at the end of the day, like, how good was Ryan Tannehill really, or Marcus Mariota really? So Vrabel and McDaniels, with the aid of what could be like this top 5, top 10 at minimum quarterback, maybe he makes those guys look a lot better. Right, like if Brady's the one getting all the credit, or if Brady's the one that's most responsible for McDaniels and Belichick's success, can't we say the same thing about Drake May? Like maybe Drake May kind of puts those guys on his back. Like, no, those guys have to help him. They have to help develop him. They got to put the right pieces around him, you know, maximize his strengths and all of that. But if he ends up being a stud, well, then those two guys are going to look like they're great.
Oh, they're going to look like geniuses. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't rule out McDaniels getting a third job if he really knocks it out of the park with Drake May. You don't think so? Drake May can't even save Josh McDaniels.
I don't think so. And I wonder if he's just to the point where he's like, all right, I'm a coordinator. I can make a lot of money as a coordinator. I can be a good coordinator. And what's the shame in that? Because I don't think an NFL team will give it to him. Because really, 3 teams have actually given him a chance. He bailed on one and then failed in the other two.
Yeah.
He's not getting another one.
You know what I forgot about? We should have given credit to the scoop of Josh McDaniels, the actual hire.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of controversy about who to credit for that scoop.
People are hot about it.
We should get, who was our caller who said he drives past McDaniel's house every day and there's a lot of activity on the front yard?
Yeah, he had
that. I don't know
what
you just said that triggered that in my head, but something.
No, he was good. Yeah, he knew all about it.
I think we had breaking news right under our noses.
What's going on? So listen, I think I might have some little information. It could be something, it could be not. So I can't disclose. I can't disclose where I'm at, but I happen
Who's
to drive.
Who's your source, Joey? You gotta say your source, or it doesn't count.
I happen to drive. Listen. I happen to drive by Josh's house every day. Okay. For the past 2 years, I haven't seen any activity. But for the past 2 years, I haven't seen anything. But the past 10 days, I've seen him out in the morning in his front yard doing things. Now I don't know if that's something.
<It's> like, doing things.
So he's out there, and he was right.
Joey knew. What's the date on that?
That was last Thursday, I believe.
Breaking news right in our face. We didn't even know.
He
was so on it. I believe he gave whoever call screened him that day a fake name and a fake location because he didn't want people to know who it was.
Wow. Nice.
Maybe it was Josh McDaniels.
Could have been Josh McDaniels calling in with a fake voice.
I can't believe we didn't run with that.
He was on it.
What's wrong with us?
Yeah, it's on us.
617.
Next time, Joey, we'll believe you.
7
Whatever your real name is.
Yeah, Joey, wherever you are. We'll believe you next time. Keith grades the offseason, really the coaching staff to this point, a B-. I'll give it a C. Like, it's solid. It's not a disaster. Mayo was a disaster. It's not that. But I don't know that there's much of a high ceiling there. So you can grade the Patriots offseason. Again, it's 617-779-7937. We'll get to the Celtics at high noon with Terp on a Celtics Wednesday. All your thoughts on what's going on with the C's? What's wrong with the Celtics? Is there an issue with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? Plus, it's Would You Rather Wednesday. We'll do some Would You Rathers right after Trending with Billy.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Delaney.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
Would you rather Juan Soto or Would you rather have a pet monkey or a mini pig? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keith.
The choice is yours. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. I think you can get with this because this is where it's at. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that.
Would you rather on a Wednesday here on Jones and Keith?
Why you get out of bed in the morning?
It is indeed. It's also Celtics Wednesday. We'll talk with Terp coming up at high noon. What's wrong with the Celtics?
What is going on with these guys?
Is anything even wrong? Maybe nothing's wrong with them.
Something's wrong.
It feels like something's
wrong.
They're
losing too many games. They're losing a lot of games.
What's Jaylen Brown's complaint? We'll do all that coming up again at high noon on a Celtics Wednesday. But it is time for some Would You Rathers. On a Would You Rather Wednesday, what's first up today, Billy?
First one up, would you rather the Patriots get Cooper Kupp or T. Higgins?
So Cooper Kupp, one thing about Cooper Kupp, he played in college with Kendrick Bourne. And you see Kendrick Bourne trying
Bourne's
to recruit him?
Pitching him on social media.
He's like, get all the targets.
Bourne's funny.
Bourne basically doesn't realize
he's the new Matthew Judon?
Yes.
Probably.
But I like him more.
I also like him more.
I like Kendrick Bourne.
I don't think Bourne has a great track record with shouting out players on social media and like getting him to come here.
But it is funny because he's not, you can't really tell. But when you're recruiting guys, especially to your position, you're basically calling out all the other guys on your team.
Well, that's a good point.
Like you're basically, you're doing it with a smile, but you're like, we desperately need you because we aren't good enough in the room. And yet you have plenty of guys in that room, including Jalen Polk, who are like, hey, if you're not with us now, like never be with us. It's like, Kendrick Bourne's not with you. Bourne's openly recruiting his former college teammate.
I'm with you. I'm on Bourne's side. Well, I was just going to say, that's a significant thing to me with him recruiting Cooper Kupp specifically, although I don't know why he needs to do it publicly on social media since you're college teammates with him.
Yeah.
Maybe just text him.
I like both of these guys a lot. I think Cooper Kupp is incredible. I think he's one of the most underrated players in league history. But I'm going to go with upside and pairing him up with Drake May for the long haul. I think Cooper Kupp might be a good guy for like a year to sort of push Drake May forward, but to pair him up for, say, the next five, I think T. Higgins is the play.
Okay. I'm leaning Kupp now that I know who the play caller is. McDaniels' offense needs a slot guy. That is not to diminish Kupp. Kupp is not purely a slot guy. Kupp can play on the outside. Yep. He can move around. But I like that in a wide receiver. I like that versatility because it's not just, oh, you line up outside, the left corner takes you away, or even a corner. There's very few corners. Surtain will do it. There's very few corners who move into the slot. Gonzalez can do it, I think, and maybe they'll do more of that with Vrabel. There's very few corners who trail all over the field, including into the slot. And so I think Kupp, maybe later in his career, could feast there even more. I know that's going to be an integral part of the Josh McDaniels offense. Who in a vacuum is more talented? T. Higgins. But T. Higgins is also going to cost you a lot if he's even available.
Yeah, spend it.
I don't think Kupp's going to cost you a ton.
Maybe not.
And look, I want the best player. I think in this offense, that slot receiver is vitally important. I'm going to lean Kupp now that I know who the play caller is. What else do we have, Billy?
Would you rather your team just lose in the first round or lose in the Super Bowl?
So sort of, you know, the Detroit Lions. Like, is it better to have your heart ripped out all the way at the end on the biggest stage possible or just get that pain out of the way earlier? And as a Patriots fan, we've sort of lived both, right? Would you rather those years where you made it to the Super Bowl and lost to the Giants or the Eagles, or the year where you just get like boat raced by the Ravens or lose to the Jets? It's more painful when you lose in the Super Bowl, but I would still prefer that because it's an extra couple of weeks of your team being in it and being super hyped for the Super Bowl. So I'll take that rather than just getting bounced in the divisional round.
The further away you get from it, that is the right answer. But in real time, you don't want that.
No. Well, I mean, you never want your team to lose in the playoffs, but at least you have a couple extra wins. You have a little bit more joy in your life. So if you lose in the divisional round, like this week, Lions fans might not even watch the conference championship. They're going to be so distraught.
Right.
Whereas you would have that. And in this scenario, you would also win that game.
Yeah, I just think...
Then you have 2 weeks to be like, our team's in the Super Bowl.
In real time, it's worse to lose a Super Bowl because of all that hype and the whole run. And it's now a month-long run in the playoffs, not just the regular season, but in the playoffs. In real time, it is worse to lose that game than like what happened to the Lions where they lose by 2 touchdowns on divisional weekend. That sucks in real time. You can wrap your head around it. And you have a lot of time to wrap your head around it. And there is much less investment. But the further away you get from it, it is the Super Bowl. You won 2 extra games that you got to experience in the meantime. I do think that's the right answer, but yeah, I mean, wouldn't it have just been better for the Patriots in 07, for instance?
Not in 07.
To just lose in the divisional round. Ugh. Then get all the way to the Super Bowl and then lose?
16-1?
Yeah.
I mean, 18-1 also hurts quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, wouldn't that have been less painful than what happened against the Giants?
Yeah, I guess it would have been less painful.
Who'd they play in 06 in the divisional round? Was it the Jaguars?
06? You mean?
I'm sorry, what did I say? 07 is what I meant. Oh. Who'd they play in the divisional round 07? It was the Jaguars, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't even remember. They won.
Who won that game?
Was it the Jaguars? I know 06, it was that crazy game against the Chargers, and then they lost to the Colts. But in 07, I forget who it was.
07 is what I meant. I think it was David Garrard and the Jaguars, I think.
that was a good Jags team.
And then the AFC title game was none of those playoff wins were very enjoyable. Like that when they beat the Chargers, it was Phillip Rivers with no ACL and Brady stunk in that AFC title game.
Yeah, they went Jags, Chargers.
I think it was David Garrard.
Might have been. Yeah, they won 31-20. Really not all that exciting of a game.
No.
Yeah, David Garrard, 2 tugs. Not a bad game.
There you go.
They stuffed Fred Taylor, though.
I think that might be the one where you're like, they should have just gotten it out of the way in the divisional round.
Season. He had 18 touchdowns and 3 picks that year.
Nice.
Lawrence Maroney ran for 122 yards in that game.
Dude, Lawrence Maroney, I think he was good in the Chargers game, too.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. I think Lawrence Maroney, believe it or not, had a good playoff run. Not a
Larry
good player,
Maroney.
But I think he had a good... He scored in the Super Bowl. Okay.
He had 122 yards against the Chargers.
I think I'll say the
right answer is the Super Bowl, but that year might be the exception.
It might withstand... Yeah, the undefeated season's different than all the other ones.
Okay, what else, Billy?
Would you rather have had Ichiro for his entire career or Manny Ramirez?
Not even close. Manny Ramirez. Manny Ramirez, who got like 30-something percent of the vote yesterday... Obviously, he got popped for steroids. I understand that. And so the writers get up on their high horse and they won't vote him in. The slap hitter, Ichiro, I voted him in yesterday. We did our show votes. I have Ichiro as a Hall of Famer. Great player. Not every player needs to hit 40 home runs and drive in 120. Ichiro was a very unique player. I still love what Gary Sheffield said about him because they were like, oh, like he might hit for like, you know, he's hitting like 350 or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I could hit for 350 every year if I just wanted to hit singles. Because they were trying to like hype up Ichiro. He's like, I don't think Sheffield was all that impressed with him.
No.
Is the point. But who was more of a game changer? Who was more of a wrecker? Like when they were at the plate, you're like, oh, Ichiro might get a slap hit down the line, or Manny might sock a 3-run bomb.
If Manny had a 10-year career, to me, this would be closer. I'm with you. It's Manny. Billy, do I even need to ask you?
No, Billy. I mean,
no, come on.
Billy. Manny is what I mean.
Here's my Manny argument, and I stand by this. Go ahead, tying run at second base. Who do you want hitting?
Yeah.
Manny Ramirez.
Yeah, I mean, Ichiro's going to scream down the first base line.
Ichiro might beat out that dribbler down the line because he's basically out of the box by the time he hits it.
He's going to leg out that swinging bunt, but the guy's still going to be at third. He's not even going to score.
He's a good player, great player.
I think if Manny had like a 10-year career, you'd look at it and go, okay, would I rather have the longevity of Ichiro?
Even 10 years is like a good run.
Okay, Manny played 19 years.
Yeah, he played forever.
And Manny played they played the same amount of years. They both played 19 years in the big leagues.
Are you counting the Taiwan years for Manny?
I'm not even.
Well, it is funny because didn't Ichiro have like 3,000 hits in the Japanese league? And then he had like 3,000 hits
It was like 1,200 or something. People want to add his. They're like, he's the real hit king. It's like, no, he's not.
No, that doesn't count.
No, he isn't. How many? If Manny in his prime went over to Japan, how many hits do you think he'd have?
A million.
So, the answer is Manny, but, you know, I don't want to belittle Ichiro's career. 372, he hit 350, I think, four different times in his career.
What was his career average? Do you have that in
311.
311, like the band.
Correct.
Guys can go.
He hit three.
You know what, apparently, about 311 real quick?
What was it?
I guess they did one of those Tiny Desk series.
Oh.
You know the little Tiny Desk series where they play?
Yeah.
I guess the 311 one's pretty good.
Interesting.
Maybe we're working some 311 today, Nick. That wouldn't kill you.
Yeah, we're good. Mix in a little 311. In honor of Ichiro, mix in a little 311 there.
Yeah.
Ichiro hit 300 or better every year of his career until he was 36. He played until 45.
Jesus. I got him in my Hall of Fame.
After 36.
I'm a small hall guy.
From 37 on, he never hit 300 again.
Nice. I did see he has the most games played as a Marlin to ever be in the Hall of Fame, and it's like 400 games.
What?
He spent 3 years with the
Marlins. He played 400 games for the Marlins?
I think it was 430 games he played with the Marlins.
Was that after the Yankees?
Yeah, I barely even remember the Yankees, but yes, it was. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He played for the Marlins for that long?
Yeah, he played for the Yankees for like 2.5 years. He played for the Marlins for three. He went back to Seattle for 2 years. At the end, although...
When did he get his 3,000th
hit? His age 45 season, he played two games. When did he get it?
Yeah, was it with the Marlins or was it with the Yankees? I don't even remember.
Yankees?
Yeah.
Don't know.
It was crazy because he was a part of those Mariners teams. Like once they got rid of all their studs, they were like better.
Yeah.
Remember, it was like Randy Johnson, Ken Griffey Jr., A-Rod are all gone. It's like, here comes Ichiro.
Oh, they won 118 games or 120? What did they win that year?
With Miami when he got the 3.
Was he with the Marlins? That's what I thought.
How about that? He should go in as a Marlin.
He should.
Go in as a Marlin, Ichiro.
A little Marlins hat. You split the hat?
Was that our last one, Billy?
No, we have one more.
Oh, one more.
Final one, would you rather drive in the snow or in the rain?
I'll tell you, I can drive in anything. I'm an excellent driver.
Yeah, but that's not the question.
Snow. Snow's better
than
driving.
You'd rather drive in snow than rain?
Yeah, like a downpour rain is tough because like the wipers don't even go fast enough. It's never snowing like that fast, that hard to really like mess up your vision. Obviously, the roads can get a little dicey. But same with like a hard rain and there's like puddles like in the left lanes or whatever.
Hydroplane. You don't want
to get a hydroplane.
You don't want to be hydro. People sleep on hydroplaning.
You know what was one of my big complaints? Was it Monday where we had snow and like the commute wasn't the best on the way in? You know what was actually really kind of the biggest problem? How bright it was.
Yeah.
Real bright.
How's your car looking these days?
Salty.
Carson upstairs, his car is clean as a whistle.
What? Does he live next to a car wash?
I have no idea. But
he lives next to the station.
Clean as a whistle.
I don't have a garage. So this sucker's just out there.
But that doesn't matter. When you're driving around on these roads, you're getting crap all over. Whether you have a garage or not, you're getting crap all over
your car. But without the garage, everything kind of like the snow gets stuck to it. It freezes. You can only scrape so much of it off.
Do you think it's a garage situation or is that a man who gets his car washed every day?
That's a man who gets his car washed.
That's what I think. The thing's clean as a whistle. I walked in today. I'm like, my car looks like a Jackson Pollock is what my car looks like. It is. It's splashes everywhere all over this thing.
It's really bad.
And so
I need to get my car washed.
It's
not going to happen though.
My roundabout point is though the brightness with all the salt and the snow and everything reflecting off the hood is ridiculous.
It was a real bright day the other day.
Yeah.
Blinded by the light.
I'd rather drive in the rain.
Really?
Than the snow.
I'm not talking a sprinkle. I'm talking like a hard rain. Like the movie Hard Rain.
But like an actual snowstorm, I'd rather drive in the rain. But
at least there's less people out.
This is what I was just going to say. Here's the check mark for snow. Or the plus for snow, more people just stay home. Like, unless you're Arcan, then it's raining. Most people still come to work.
Yeah.
When it's snowing, a lot of people stay home, so there's way less people on the roads. Yeah. That is a plus.
I feel in the snow, the crazy drivers are a little you know, a little more controlled in the snow than rain.
Yeah,
like, I feel like the snow slows everybody down. Even if you are an aggressive driver, the snow slows you down.
I'm still, the second I can dart around that plow, I'm usually still doing it.
You got to get around the plow.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't have the patience to sit behind a plow.
No.
I don't have
gotta
that.
Got to get going.
I believe it or not, I consider myself a relatively patient man. I do not have that level of patience. Yeah. Not even close to it.
You're talking with the brightness of the snow. I think like the glare from like rain is much worse.
Yeah.
You know, you like nighttime driving in the rain is the worst.
Can I ask you a stupid question?
Why stop now?
Does the gas pump slower when it's cold out like today? I was at the pump does it really?
It absolutely is.
Right?
No.
Does it not?
I think so. Because
today it was, when I talk about,
just needs a refill.
When I talk about not having patience, it was absurdly slow filling up.
On
today.
The other side of you, like directly.
There was a guy across from me, yes.
Yeah. That's
so you think he was.
I think when you're both draining from the same side, it slows down. Because I bet as soon as that guy was done.
The guy started before me?
Yeah.
The guy started before me.
He's done.
Yeah, keep that music going, Nick. Yeah. The guy started before me, I finished first. And I'll tell you.
Hell yeah.
I'll tell you. I didn't have the patience for it. I'm nowhere near a full tank.
How much
did
that have to do with the fact that it was 10 degrees?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I think why I quit the weather?
I mean, like, your patience because it was cold.
No,
made it feel like it was taking forever.
Had nothing to do with that. It was just that it was such a ridiculously long pump. That's what it was. Yeah, keep that music going.
I don't know if it's as much that or just you're sharing the same kind of pump.
I don't know. I feel like it takes forever for the card to read when it's cold, too. I feel like the whole process is just slower.
You might be right.
Terrible.
Things can kind of they get a little cold. They should be right. It should be all season. It's not, apparently.
I guess. I'm saying I don't know. It's just something I noticed today.
Okay.
So that's what you rather on a Wednesday here on Jones and Key. 617-779-7937. We'll get to your feedback coming up. A reminder, WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. We have, Celtics Talk with Terp at high noon on a Celtics Wednesday. Your phone call's next.
Keith, good request. Little 311. Spice up a little bit in honor of Ichiro's career batting average. I can't say I celebrate their entire catalog, but Transistor got a lot of spins in my car.
I'm looking up their discography because I feel like I own more than I realize. But what are they as a genre?
Oh,
they're not your new metal.
No, they're not new metal. No, no.
But what is that?
Rock reggae.
What is
something
that?
Like is
alternative
that,
rock?
Yeah,
can't find it. Alternative rock
is that? It's just alternative rock. That's what we would call that.
They are, according to Wikipedia, American rock band.
Thank you. Give that. Yeah, good.
But then again, I mean, there is definitely some weird sort of reggae to it. But yeah, these guys did a lot of stuff.
Okay, I think I might have owned three 311 albums.
No way.
I own Grassroots.
Yeah, that's one of the early ones.
Let me look at
self-titled, maybe.
What's
Transistor from 1997's Transistor is what I gave far and away the most spins to.
Okay. That was Beautiful Disaster, Prisoner, and Transistor.
All on one album? That's not fair. Some hits for the rest of us.
Wasn't the self-titled one that had Down and All Mixed Up? Wasn't that the better one?
Oh, yeah. That was good, too.
And then Grassroots was for the real 311 heads like me.
Mm.
Yeah. That had
like most bands,
8:16 a.m. apparently was on that one.
Like most bands, once they started making music after 2003, I stopped listening. Like I'm stuck in such a time capsule. For
like Greg to me, Greg's like, I don't know you well enough. Like, what do you even listen to? I'm like, I don't even know how to answer that anymore. I don't really even like
now.
Eighth grade me like DMX.
It's like podcasts then and radio. Right. Like I don't listen to a ton of music. Although with the kids, you know, you throw on some songs.
This is ultimately my answer. I'm like, I listen to the Troll soundtrack. Like, what do you mean?
So I go different. My wife usually plays like the nonsense that they like in her car. And then I'm like, we're not doing that. I'm like, I don't have that song in this car. So I play a lot of ska because it's fast.
Yeah.
Which I like, the kids like.
Uh-huh.
It's light on swearing.
Yeah.
So I'm a good dad. I'm trying not to, you know, have them cussing all over the time. All over the place.
You can't find a clean version of everything. You just can't.
No, you definitely can't. No. Although there are clean versions of Lil Jon songs, and the girls love Lil Jon.
Yep.
Because he gets to go. He gets to place. You're on your feet dancing.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't like some crunk music? Yeah.
So a lot of Real Big Fish, a lot of Aquabats in my car, stuff like that.
Real Big Fish.
Love Real Big Fish.
I had a Real Big Fish album.
Of course you did.
Do they have more
than
one?
Sellout?
Yeah.
They have a greatest hits. They have two different greatest hits albums.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
What, the one
Sellout,
song?
Beer. Beer's a great song.
Beer's a good song. I just assumed that was on the basketball soundtrack, right?
Yeah.
Was that where that was in that movie? Yeah, right?
Yeah, they were the house band.
They were the house band of basketball, which is one of the most underrated films ever made.
So I got to play more ska in my car.
I would.
Okay.
Puts you in a good mood.
It's toe-tapping.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Somebody said, this was like an old meme, they were like, ska music is what's being played in the head of a 12-year-old when they're about to get mozzarella sticks. like that
Mountain
feeling.
Mountain Dew and mozzarella
sticks. Yeah, they're like, when the mozzarella sticks show up to the table, like the kid in the head's like, that's just ska music.
I was going
to
say Surge.
Yeah.
But Mountain Dew is a good call. Yeah.
There's okay. a great ska music documentary on like Tubi or one of those ones, and they have all the main players in there. It's great.
All the main. Would you rather...
Travis Barker had to make a decision. Do I stay in the Aquabats or do I join Blink-182? And I think
there's been a lot of Aquabat references lately. That's where he was from.
Huh. Yeah. Huh. So Super Rad, which is one of my favorite songs ever. So he was the drummer for that album. And then Blink-182, they even wrote a song about it. They had a falling out with their drummer.
Mm.
And they were like on tour together or they were at some event together. And they're like, hey, can you learn all of our songs and do it? And then he had to decide. And they had like the lead singer of the Aquabats was like, I kind of thought he was going to stay with us. I think he made the right call.
He made a good move.
Yeah.
I think he did pretty well for himself. He made the right professional decision. Okay. You can jump in on this. We're also going to get to some Celtics talk with Terp on a Celtics Wednesday. Johnny in Brooklyn's been waiting patiently on the C's.
All right, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Keith, I noticed you dropped the R in the word cursing just there. I want to circle back to that after the Celtics point, if I could.
Did he say cussing?
Oh, cussing. Cussing.
What's going on with that? Yeah, but there's an R there. What are we got, a silent R?
Those are two different words.
Two different words.
Cussing and cursing. Cuss. Those are two different words.
People can cuss?
Yeah.
Don't they mean the same thing?
Probably.
All right, there's a lot of words in the English language that
dog
mean the same thing.
You should have gone with dog cuss. You know, dog cuss them.
You said two instead of also.
I've never known. So this whole time, I thought people were just dropping the R. It turns out it's a totally different word. Okay, well, the Celtics, I don't think there's an issue between Brown and Tatum. I think that they know, the whole team knows, that there's an impending sale. I don't know if you saw the Fenway Sports Group making a bid. That's a terrifying thing. And
they're not.
I think for between that and the CBA coming up, they know that there are going to be changes made just from a business standpoint. So they know they're not long for, this team's not going to be staying together very long, which is a bummer because I think they're really good. I want to know your thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Johnny. I'm having trouble getting past curse and cuss being the same word.
Two different words, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that you can use them kind of interchangeably.
Yeah, they're synonyms.
I don't like the cussing.
I believe they're synonyms.
I don't like the cursing.
Although curse has multiple definitions. But yeah, I believe
cursive is a way of penmanship.
But yeah, but they're synonyms. I think you can use them interchangeably.
That's fine.
Say dog cuss, I think is what you
dog cuss.
Yeah,
I don't
cuss.
Think the sale has anything to do with the 500 record over the last 20 games. Do you?
I mean, well... I don't rule out that it impacts something somewhere along the line, but do I think that's why they're playing 500 basketball? No. I think why they're playing 500 basketball might have more to do with Jason Tatum playing full first quarters, Jaylen Brown having to adjust to that versus how they did it when they were winning.
Lapses in defense, times where they're just yucking threes up.
Yeah, and largely just being complacent, lazy, I mean, however you want to put that. But I think the way they play is soft and passive offensively. When you're just launching threes, I thought short changes some of the penetration into the paint and kicking out to open guys and getting two-on-ones and things like this. But it's largely a passive way of playing offense. I think that trickles through the whole team. But they've made some adjustments to their rotation when they were the best team in basketball a year ago that I think are perplexing. And I think Jalen's perplexed by it. Now, maybe you don't want to hear it as a Celtics fan, but I think that's an issue. I think that's at the root of it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll ask somebody who covers the team, follows this much closer than we do, Justin Turpin from WEEI. You can check out his work there. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Justin M. Turpin. I want to get his thoughts on what's wrong with the Celtics. If you want to jump in on what you think is wrong with the Celtics or have questions for Terp, 617-779-7937. We'll get to you next.